Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of Go King Riders Club. Oh, you want to introduce it? This is your first.
You've already gone. Next week.
How did you feel about last week's episode?
Oh, I was actually going to ask you, so I was probably a little bit rusty, but
I was pretty rusty.
What would you give me on a scale of 1 to 10?
This week I did what you did last week, and that was fuck up the yard on the day. So, your mum wouldn't have seen this yet, but
no.
Did you show her?
No, I didn't. It's going to be a big reveal. And I guess listening back to the previous podcast, and I guess in show business we don't reveal all our secrets, but my first episode hasn't come out yet when we're recording.
Well, it has. Maybe.
Tomorrow? Maybe not. Because you built up the new host quite a bit, so I didn't realise what big shoes I was trying to fill.
You fell in Hull's shoes.
I fell in Hull's shoes.
So you got to just deal with the Hull clan first.
That's true.
And pretty much there's, 100 members of, I can't even think of the band's name. The
King of the Travellers.
King of the Travellers.
There is 100 members.
There is 100 members. Pirate Punk Slipknot.
It's funny because I call Nathan Coach Bombay from Mighty Ducks. And I can't help but feel I'm like the Icelandic villainous coach from Number Two.
I know what you're talking about. Okay. You're talking about Mighty Ducks.
I am. So I just feel that Coach Bombay is going to return and kick the Icelandic coach back to the curb.
Yeah, I don't see that. I think you're more like the villain from Cool Runnings.
John Candy?
The
Finns? The Finnish. So I'm Scandinavian by some...
Scandinavian. Yeah, right. Like, okay. Hey, Jamaica, why don't you go back to Jamaica? That guy was in a Saw movie. We were talking about Saw before we jumped up. That dude was one of the... That's the only reason why I knew him.
Cool Runnings movie. Yeah. But I did think, because you're a bit of a, you know... Perth celebrity and on the comic scene. I don't know, what is it called? Perlebrity or P grade?
Personality.
Oh, I was going to say P grade celebrity, maybe, or.
P grade. No, personality is what a lot of East Coasters call big time Perth people.
You don't rock up to the.
You're not famous anywhere else.
No. You don't rock up to the stand up comic scene saying, don't you know who I am?
Sometimes.
So on that theme, I guess your viewers were probably thinking that there's going to be a quality comic coming in, not Hull's arch nemesis.
Yeah, but that's kind of where the magic of show business is.
That is true.
You know, Jerry Springer didn't bring on guests that got along.
That is true.
Hey, these guys put on a bake sale together and they nailed it. No,
I don't know if you've read my 99-word story because there's you've just revealed. You've just revealed a bit of my 99 words.
What was your topic this week?
It was audience member in the catacombs. Catacombs.
Yeah.
Get it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you've revealed a big theme already, and you probably haven't realised what you've said.
The audience member.
Maybe.
Or just Springer.
Maybe. We've got to keep Springer's people on the edge of their seat.
There was another guy that was like Springer, but it wasn't Springer.
Maury?
No. Before Maury, he bashed himself in a toilet and put a swastika on his head. And then his career kind of ended up
with
that.
I would have assumed
do
so.
Do you know who I'm talking about? No. And he used to... He was like Jerry Springer, except the host was more like the guest. And the guests were like normal people.
So the guests were hosting the show.
So the host of the show had the mentality of like Jerry Springer guest, where that'd be like normal people, and he would just call them whores. I can't think what his name is. Are you looking that up now?
Yeah, I'm trying to find
the guy before Jerry Springer. That's what you're googling.
Yeah.
That might bring up a lot as well, actually.
Yeah, I can't think. He was like huge. He was like Howard Stern big. Yeah. Like completely offensive.
Well, I mean, Jerry Springer was the only reason you'd chuck a sickie in primary school so you could stay home and watch midday.
Yeah. And you had to watch all the infomercials before it came.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Morty Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Should we hang this kid?
This is early, late 80s, early 90s.
Maybe there needs to be a revival.
The documentary came out like late 2010s.
Yeah, right.
Or like early 2010s.
Hey, I guess before we launch into the stories, I want to give a big shout out.
To who?
To Kim Jong-un. Is that how I say it?
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, I don't know how this is going to go down with your loyal Korean viewer base, but I don't know if you read that he's banned all but 20 hairstyles. So you have to have one of 20 haircuts. That's all that's allowed in North Korea.
Yeah, it's socialism. Let me guess, it's like the undercut with the green.
Yeah, that's one. That's one of 20.
The mullet with the blue.
But, I mean, you're probably more aligned to what's under my hat in terms of hairstyles. And, you know, I'm getting a bit sick of all the man buns and, you know, the half-shaven mullets going around. I think this is a good
the
thing.
The mullet's coming back hard.
Yeah.
I saw this. People, like how people do shit, like, ironically funny. And then it becomes serious, like the hipsters where everyone used to, like it was kind of like, oh, this is a stupid thing to do. Let's buy, like, all the records. And now, like, records outsold CDs for the first time since, the early 90s.
Probably, yeah.
And then, and that's what the mullet is. Like, the mullet came in and it's back. Like, oh, look how filthy this is. And then, like, all the AFL players are like, this is a serious fucking look.
That shave your head, the shave your sideburns thing from The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Oh, what's his name? Bailey Smith from the Bulldogs has the...
But I was just thinking, how good is it going to be with all the barbers in North Korea? Because they only have to do one of 20 haircuts. It's like when you go to a restaurant and there's 50 or 60 things on
the
menu.
Are you setting up a premise right now?
I'm not setting up a premise. I was just on the way.
Is there a punchline?
There isn't a punchline.
Hoping that I'll swing it out of the park for you.
I don't know. But what I'm saying is you go to a restaurant and they're cooking tikka chicken masala and shepherd's pie and spag bol, you know it's not going to be any good because it's, you know, it's too varied.
Yeah, North Koreans are weird
I'm just trying to get your North Korean viewership back on par by complimenting
the hairstylist. But then again, like, it could be like the Michelin star of haircuts. Remember that street vendor in Singapore who's got a Michelin star and he only makes one dish?
Yes.
Maybe that's what the hairstyle, you know, they're really basic hairstyles, but like,
they're pretty good.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get the North Korean cut for one of the shows coming up.
Maybe. I don't think was it North Korea? We should get into the story soon. But there was one story that I saw. It was the Chinese businessman had a second grade professional soccer team and got like his 140 kilos on to play.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he did. I saw that. He was taking a corner. Yeah, that's right.
He can't kick, and he kicks it to him, and they don't. It goes straight to the opposition, and he starts abusing his own teammates. It's the fucking best shit ever.
It's not
like me, where I fuck up, but it's like, man, you should have just been where I told you to be.
Yeah.
We've really gone after the Asians this episode.
We have not gone after any particular.
I feel like Tony Hinchcliffe. We're going after.
I was trying to get them back on support. You know.
Did you see the Tony Hinchcliffe thing?
I didn't.
He did nothing wrong. I mean, I don't think he did anything wrong. Americans aren't really known for their irony and.
Hey, now you've gone too far.
Well, your mum's all right, but all the other ones. What is it? American and... not American. Irony and something else that Americans struggle with.
Sarcasm?
Nah, they're the...
It's one of the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, now we're offending every race. Should we get into the stories?
Yeah.
All right. I think you go first, because I went first last week.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what you've got.
How are the things?
They're going.
Okay, good. Because I just put my foot on it.
All right. What have we got here? So it looks like you've signed your name by Sex and Conway. That's probably...
What have I done?
Well, you know...
That's an A. Yeah, that's...
That's not an A.
That's how it does.
We might need to sort of circle in on that in the graphics.
Yeah.
So we've got some sort of creature. He's got sort of like a cloud-like head with a 1% jacket on. So I'm thinking a ghost biker potentially. And in the background, it looks like a village rejoicing, sort of with pitchforks and torches coming. And then I'm just trying to work out what's going on in the right-hand corner, which has got sort of targets or a...
I don't think you'll get it.
I won't get it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I got it. So
what do you think it is?
Something lurking in a sewer.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
This is the worst quiz show ever.
And I feel sorry for anyone that's listening, viewing this.
What do you think the story is? Don't just tell me what the pitch is.
Oh, I think the story is about a ghost biker who's been snatching up kitties.
In the sewer. No.
By Sex and Conway.
It's Sean Conway. Fuck off. That's an A.
That's an X.
It's an A with attitude. All right. So it's called 1%er. Okay. 1%. By Sean Conway. Sam, the night shift manager, slowly made his way down to the front door. He opened it without a thought, yet no one was there. It must have been the wind, he thought. The idea that this sewage waste facility was actually haunted never crossed his mind. Why would it? It was a shit factory. What sort of ghost would haunt a shit factory? Sam was new to town and wasn't yet aware of the urban legend of the floater. The floater was about a local clown named Sewer Steve who would raise money for charity by doing laps in the dirty, filthy sewers in a clown costume. What did he raise money for? Nobody knows. People thought the fundraising aspect of it was just a cover-up for his sexual desire to swim in shit in a clown costume. When the church caught wind that there might be a deviant in town, they all grabbed their pitchforks and torches and marched to the sewer waste facility. The angry mob sentenced him to death. Sewer Steve's last words were haunting. If any of you set foot in my sewer plant, we won't. He was rudely interrupted and set alight. The flames burnt his flesh as he dove into the sewer water. He died as he lived, swimming in other people's shit. Sam closed the door, and as he walked back to his office, he heard another knock at the door. Confused, he stormed back to see what was there. It was the ghost of Sewer Steve, ready to take vengeance on the poor, unassuming night manager. The shit monster leaped at Sam, who ducked and ran for his office with a giant shit monster on his tail. He closed the door, but the obstacle was no match for the shit monster. Sam quickly flicked through the training manual to see if there was any information on how to stop the monster, but it was no use. The monster ripped the book from his hands and threw Sam across the room. Sam was certain he would die until he saw a green canister in the corner of his eye. It was Glen 20. Kills 99% of germs, he thought. He quickly picked it up and sprayed it in the shit monster's face. The monster laughed hysterically. Sam didn't understand what was happening until the shit monster revealed his bikey patch that said 1%er. Nobody knows what happened to Sam that night, the night manager that night, but they all agree it was probably something really disgusting.
Wow.
Close.
I think that your picture captured it quite well. And given I did see the difficulties you were having with your picture so close to the podcast being recorded, it's a fair effort.
Yeah.
I've got to ask, what's inspired the shit monster?
I don't know. I just started with Sam, the night shift manager, and then it kind of just tumbled. Yeah. And then... I wanted to go down like the Stephen King It route, but then it just became...
Well, it did a little bit.
Sewer. But then with the clown costume, and then I took a hard left away from it because it's like, that was what, like 800 pages that it was? So, yeah. But I don't know. I kind of just let the ideas pour out.
Right. So you weren't sitting on the toilet at the time?
No.
Yeah, it's a pretty good story.
Yeah, but there was a shit demon in Dogma. Do you remember Dogma?
I do remember Dogma, but I haven't seen that in so long.
Do you remember what the ship monster?
It's a ship monster with Selma Hayek. And,
yeah. And you know who plays the ship monster?
I know you're going to tell me and I'll
remember. Ethan Suplee.
Okay, no, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, from My Name Is Earl.
Yeah, he's Varsity Blues as well.
Yeah. What's that?
He's on Varsity Blues as well. He's got a good podcast.
No, he's not in Varsity Blues. Yeah, he's in Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans, sorry, yep.
No, Varsity Blues was that other fat dude.
Sorry, I wasn't typecasting Ethan.
Yeah, he's got a, what was it, American Girth?
Yeah. So not as popular as our podcast, obviously, but...
No, but they're with the Entourage.
They are. Yeah. Action Park Media. No, it's an interesting story, and I did like the 1%. Did you come up with that before or after?
No, I came up with the Glen 21st because 99% of germs.
99.9, isn't it?
No, in that story.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I was just thinking, could it be 0.0%, 1%?
No, not in that reality. I don't even think that's what Glen 20 is for. I think Glen 20 is just air freshener.
Oh, they probably a dabble.
Is it? I think...
Mr. Sheen does polish.
So... Just confirming which sponsorship are we going for? Is it Glen? Yep.
Yeah, whatever gives us the cash. If you're anti Glen 20, come at us.
The anti Glen 20 is the anti vaxxer club.
Well, it's kind of like fuck Glen 20 because they couldn't kill the ship monster. It was a useless device.
Yep. So, in your mind, does the ship monster still haunt that town?
Yeah, it was kind of like he haunts that. Sewer facility. You know, so like kids walk past and there's like a little shit monster like, don't come down here. And it's like, we weren't thinking about coming.
Yeah. I never.
Smells like shit.
Yeah, you can steer clear. All right. Yeah. Should we move on to mine?
Yeah, I want to see your artwork.
I still think my artwork's got a lot to be desired. It's a bit.
We need to get you some arts and crafts stuff.
I know, we do. Sorry.
All right, so the ruse.
No.
The roostick.
The roost.
What's that drumstick?
Well, that might be part of my story.
Oh, it's a T?
It's a T. Oh, it's okay. A T, but I went for it might be part of my story there.
I'm going to say it's a pound.
Yeah.
Because there's a dog.
Yeah.
It has a very... whatever prison that chopper was in. With the barbed wire.
In Melbourne.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if you remember the intro to Chopper.
Yep. I don't know what the actual jail was called, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The Roost, it's called?
Yeah, I've gone a bit abstract. The whole thing's a bit abstract.
So I reckon there's a guy called Roost who's a prisoner who's trying to get out and has to get past this dog.
Yeah, so maybe. So the dog definitely is guarding something. What about over down here?
Is there a fly in the kennel?
That's just my really poor effort at a couple eggs.
Oh. Yeah. Or maybe the prison is from the perspective of the chicken, like Chicken Run. Maybe it's like an adult version of Chicken Run.
Maybe.
Let me guess, the inspiration was Chicken Run.
of many inspirations.
All right, let's have a look.
Should I jump in?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, wait, is this the failed first attempt?
Yeah, and then it got a bit wet with the Perth downpour. The barbed wire surrounds the compound. Spotlights circle the grounds, looking for the very moment a prisoner tries to escape. Alarm systems and motion detectors ensuring the inmates feel trapped and utterly locked in. Their fate sealed as soon as they enter the grey, dreary building. Guard dogs grizzle at the gates, the ones you think of when you think of any villain sidekick's dog in a Disney movie. But these ones won't be fooled by the meat over the fence trick. Their eyes don't deviate from their inmates. There's no escape. There's an instant sense of claustrophobia. The cells are overcrowded. inmates nestled up right against each other. The sound of constant chatter and cries for help is overwhelming. There's feces everywhere, wall to wall. Diseases seem rampant. Every second inmate seems to have a flu or some flesh-eating looking ailment. One inmate chirps to the other, "Did you hear about Greg?" The other inmate swings his head around 360 frantically looking for Greg. Greg is nowhere to be seen. The inmate goes pale and life appears to be sucked out of him. "What?" he stutters. "What happened to Greg?" Finally spluttering it out, the older inmate puffs his chest. "Well, one of the guards, the big fat one, grabbed him by the neck, one-handed, and lifted him right up in the air. Greg was wailing, screaming for help, but no one was able to assist. He walked through the next door, and it's never been seen since." "What's behind those doors?" the younger inmate asks. A question he asks, knowing that he doesn't want to hear the answer. The older inmate replies quickly, "Death." Petrified, the young inmate paces around, walking in circles. "How can he get out?" he frantically thinks. The door swings open and the big fat guard strolls in and yells, "Who's next?" The inmates scramble, screeching as they run. The young inmate is knocked over in the commotion. His feet move too fast, trying to get back onto his feet. The guard is getting closer and closer. Finally, he gets to his feet and he runs straight into the wall. He's trapped. The guard's a giant. His hand comes down and with one foul swoop, his hand is wrapped around the young inmate's neck. He can't breathe. It's strangling him. He tries to call for help and flails around, but he can't free himself. The doors swing open with one palm and the big fat guard carries him into the next room. The lights in this room are blinding. The young inmate can only make out what appears to be quite a bit of blood and heads of other inmates lying on the floor. He blinks and blinks. Surely he's hallucinating, and this is all just a nightmare. He's pinned down on the table. Fear has completely overwhelmed him, and then whack. The noise goes to a high-pitched ringing. Again, he thinks he is hallucinating. Can it be? Surely it can't be, he says to himself as he sees his body running around in circles. The guard picks up his head with his thumb and finger, and the inmate can now see clearly around the room, detached from everything. He sees the guard pick up his twitching body and fling it into a large bucket marked with a label stating, "Deliver to Kentucky Fried Chicken."
Halfway through, I was like, yeah, I can see the chicken run reference now.
So I actually had
with
to do
the fat guard grabbing the dude by the throat. Yeah,
I had to do a little bit of research that chickens blink.
Do they blink?
They blink. Yeah. I had to do that around sort of.
That's two stories that you've done for this podcast
about KFC. Well, I was thinking, you know, Red Rooster or Chicken Treat, but you know, I've in terms of being signed up to come join you on the podcast, I thought this is an international audience and they wouldn't know what Red Rooster or Chicken Treat is.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
It's Popeyes in America. I don't know.
Popeyes is fucking good though.
Popeyes is really good.
Yeah.
And Chick-fil-A.
Little Nicky wasn't wrong. Oh, Chick-fil-A is probably better. But they're not open on a Sunday.
Yeah, but that'll be the last Kentucky Fried Chicken reference, unless we can, again, get some points.
That'll be the 9-9-1 story challenge. But there was a couple of references. You had the Sopranos reference. With the silence. What else was there? But it kind of reminded me, the start reminded me of all the books you used to buy whenever we travelled overseas, like Mr. Happy, whatever.
I like the Mr. Smiley and...
No. It was the drug dealer that went to that Colombian prison that's...
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
Mr. Smiley face.
Yeah, I think that is it.
Something like that, yeah.
I was going for a bit of a Shawshank Redemption theme at the start.
Well, with the young and old inmate.
I thought that as well. Yeah, so, there was a few themes coming through.
So what was it that you watched these movies this week, or did you just have KFC?
I had neither. So I'd started off that it was a prison and it was going to be an overcrowded prison. And then I thought, I don't know, for some reason, I thought let's turn it into some chickens.
Yeah.
Yep. So I don't know what inspired, but probably on the way home, I might go that way.
I'm craving some chicken at KFC now as well. But you ready for the 9-9-1 Runaway Story Challenge?
Yeah.
We got a new animation for that.
I did. I saw a sneak peek. Yeah. Loved it.
All right, we'll check it. If you haven't seen it, it's right. Yeah.
Sean and Luke Greenwood.
99 Random Word. Cocktail!
Do you know where it's like a good place to get soup? This is where you start the... You know where you get soup?
No soup for you. No, I don't actually.
No, there should be like there's a place in Melbourne that just purely does soup.
Yeah,
and I want somewhere like that.
Sick
soup.
What kind? Minestrone, pea and ham, pumpkin, chowder.
I like pumpkin, but like just a good chicken and corn soup. I know a lot of Chinese restaurants do it.
Yeah, I think like places with the colder climates probably. More inclined to have a soup. Anyway, we digress. We digress.
All the soup talk. Let's get into the stories. Should I go first? I got mine up.
You go first. And so your theme was
Sponge in Japan.
That's right.
Sponge in Japan. Oh wait, you got a story as well?
Yeah. Do you want to do yours?
Yeah, we'll do ours first. Yeah.
We'll
yeah. Sponge in Japan. The Japanese men stopped dead in their tracks when they saw SpongeBob SquarePants in their fishing nets. SpongeBob woke up bitter and twisted and seeking revenge for the deaths of his friends in Bikini Bottom at the hands of the Yakuza. He was the shell of the man he used to be. He had become a real Krabby Patty. He landed on the shores of Tokyo with his samurai swords and machine guns. He left his past life on that Japanese fishing boat. He was no longer SpongeBob. He was simply known as Sponge Ronan.
there's a few things going on there.
Sponge Ronan. Yeah, because like he's got no one else.
Yeah.
Now he's
it makes sense. And actually, I was listening to the last episode and the last episode, and you were talking about Ronan the Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah.
Is that where that's been inspired?
Are you reading
the comic? No. Yeah, I read the comic. No, I don't think it was Ninja Turtles. Hawkeye becomes Ronan in Endgame. Yeah, where he goes and kills all the Yakuza.
I haven't seen Endgame, so you've just spoiled the movie.
Yeah, the whole movie's about fucking Hawkeye.
Yeah, Hawkeye beats Thanos.
I don't know. I always used to catch up on Avengers on the plane. I always used to catch up on the Avenger movies on the plane. I haven't been on a plane for a while. I don't know.
Have you seen the Infinity Gauntlet?
Yeah, yeah, I've seen
Infinity War.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
And at no point were you like, "Hey, I wonder how this gets resolved."
Well, now I know Hawkeye goes off.
I know, because they all died at the end of Infinity War. He kind of went mental and killed a bunch of Yakuza.
Right, okay, yeah.
Oh, and it was the dude from Scorpion. He was in that scene as well. The dude that played Scorpion
in Mortal Kombat.
In the new Mortal
Kombat. Right, there you go. And SpongeBob, what was the inspiration of using SpongeBob as your core character?
I thought it was funny to use SpongeBob as like Jason Bourne character. That's how he woke up on the fishing boat. I won't lie. I started with SpongeBob and then I ended up with SpongeBob. Like, I kind of let the story... I just wanted to figure out what the story was as I was writing.
That's fair. Yeah. We've talked a little bit about food, but I'd be really keen to try Krabby Patty.
There's a dude called what's his name? Binging with Baddish. He's like a New York. I don't even think he's a chef, but he like a fan of cooking, and he makes all these meals from movies, and then does them how he does it, so it's easy for you to do it at home, like the Goodfellas, where he slices it with like a razor thin and shit like that. But I'm pretty sure he did a Krabby Patty. Binging with Babish.
Babish.
Yeah. Right, okay.
I've never heard of him. That sounds cool.
You never heard of Benjamin Burke?
Yeah. No.
You're good. Oh. I think he did a bunch. I think one of the best ones he did. I think he did the feast in Hook.
Oh, what a great scene!
Yeah,
all time greatest.
Well, I still don't know what that food is. Is it like?
Oh, I don't know what it is either. But it's just mashed potato. Don't ruin my childhood.
No, I know, but
it was
like
the greatest looking feast ever.
Like, as an adult now, I kind of wish it's like potato and stuff.
Well, yeah, I don't know
like,
what it is.
As a kid, I was like, I hope that's just like
ice cream, blue, like mousse.
Blue mousse, yeah.
Oh, what a scene. All right, should I go?
Yours is an audience member in the catacombs.
Yeah, I don't know why, though. I think this is now twice, two for two, where I've...
The Colonel came and tended the kettle.
I've got the secret herbs and spice. No, I when I was told my theme, I thought it was audience member with a bone to pick, and then we went in the catacombs as the location. But that's all right. That's how it's sort of all...
There's no rules to write in.
That's
except
true.
Except for this challenge.
They're 99 words, yeah.
99 words, and it has to be about an audience member in the catacombs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Jerry, 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 the audience feverishly chant. Welcome back to the show, folks. Dead from the catacombs. In case you missed it, Jacqueline claims she found her sister's necklace on her husband's corpse, a secret love pact, and we've also learnt her brother was also in a relationship leaving a gold bracelet. And now, audience questions. A decrepit hand rises. The audience is aghast. It is he, risen from the wall. I've got a bone to pick, pointing at all the siblings. Thanks for the necklace and bracelet, but who the fuck buried me next to Bob? That prick stinks.
Yeah, I mean, it's no Sponge.
No, it was no Sponge Ronan. And that's hence the when you were talking about Jerry Springer before.
Yeah. But it's... So wait, was it like kind of like Jerry Springer? But
in
like
the catacombs.
If it was like Norman Bates?
Yeah. So Jerry Springer in the catacombs. From like a, you know, like a zombie sort of...
Has it been a movie where like it's like a talk show host but like all the guests are dead?
Maybe the I'm getting Beetlejuice vibes from that.
Oh, maybe Beetlejuice, yeah.
But maybe not. They're just all sitting around that hospital, the doctor's.
But I'm thinking more like Kramer. But I think there was the Simpsons, a Halloween episode of The Simpsons where the whole town died in a nuclear blast.
Probably. One of the treehouse horrors.
Yeah. And Homer punches Milhouse's dad in the face and his head falls off. Remember that? The light screen idiot.
I don't remember that one, but I can see it happening.
Yeah, I do.
Aaron's got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he hits and he dusts his skull and he's just like,
still got it.
And then the other one where they're zombies and Flanders comes to him and he's like, can I get a bite? And he shoots him with a shotgun.
And you killed the zombie Flanders.
He was a zombie.
Oh, those early episodes were great.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure there's like something to do. I don't know. Maybe it's kind of like what was that show? Robert De Niro. It's pretty much the Joker. King of Comedy. Did you ever see that?
Oh no, I didn't. No.
It's you saw the Joker?
I did see the Joker.
It's that.
Right.
But and it's a Scorsese movie from like the 70s or 80s.
And De Niro's in it.
Robert De Niro is like the Joker, and that's why he's the host.
Right.
Franklin Murray or Murray Franklin in that, because it's such an homage to the King of Comedy. And Robert De Niro's character was Jerry Lewis.
Right. Okay.
So
he
thinks he's our best mates with Jerry Lewis. But any time they meet in reality, Jerry Lewis is like, get the fuck away from me, you stalker.
So that was probably one of the first times they teamed up.
But like downstairs, like in his basement, he had the Kramer set up.
Right. The Merv Griffin show.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the catacombs?
A catacombs?
Yeah.
Or the catacombs?
Oh, A? Because there's a few.
No.
No, neither have I.
No. Never appealed to me.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Hey, remember that time in history where a whole bunch of people died
and they were didn't like,
know what medicine to use?
Yeah, and then we got their bodies and shifted them.
It's like a really bad family reunion. No, it's more like a yearbook. Isn't there a church that's all
there's
built?
There's all, like, if you look online, because I sort of went down more of like a Egyptian mummy sort of route to start when I was thinking, and then I was had to go, oh, no, actually...
Is it... Well, that's a tomb. Is that a catacomb, though?
No.
So I think catacombs are like almost like formal mass graves, aren't they?
Yeah. And they've sort of split out different body parts and made like wall sculptures and things like that.
It's there's a whole church. Crazy. I'm not sure if that's France or if that's a South American country. Yeah. Or maybe both.
Maybe a ship monster lives down there, too.
Ship monster?
Yeah, maybe.
Or it?
It?
Imagine that's why it was killing all those kids.
Yeah, because it was...
Just because he was like, playing on remodeling that... What was the house? The house on Neble Street?
Oh, I can't remember the street name.
But house is like it was... What was it? What are those Americans called? They buy cheap houses. Flippers.
Yeah.
He was just going to flip their house by decorating it with like kids' skeletons and shit.
I could see that becoming one of those home sort of documentary shows where they come in and...
Like just an offshoot.
The before and after shot.
Like this is the main continuity of the story. This is like a Disney Plus series where it runs... where just Pennywise is flipping houses.
Should we see what people have sent in?
No, let's keep talking about this nonsense.
Okay, yeah.
Aaron, did you make one?
I've done a written one today.
Oh, yeah?
I did The Sponge in Japan.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you
want to
hear it now?
Yeah. Let's do it. Mike?
My name is Yuto. I'm a sponge for the Yakuza. I clean all the blood. I do not fight much, but I kill the most, overall. I still sleep well, though. Many men live on. It's just easier for me to release their souls. I hope God forgives. I do not have this pleasure. Either way, it's fine. It can be fun too. Occasionally, they beg, or bribe, or bargain. I have so little, but my work ethic is strong. Yuto can't be bought. A youngster last week bled all over the red rug. What respect I had.
That's good.
I like that. That's good. It has a...
It was poetic. I felt like I was transported to Japan.
Like Death Note.
It was
an anime sort of story.
That was English format haiku.
Mm.
Was it?
Yes.
Mm. Oh.
Very good. I actually translated it into Japanese.
Yeah.
I thought at some point you were going to do that, like, Tony Hinchcliffe Asian accent.
My name is Yuto.
We don't need that sort
of... No, we're not going down that path again.
No, I was going to do it.
We know that he's...
Almost the Kill Bill scene, you know, where it goes into the anime in the middle of Kill Bill and the Yakuza. Yeah, that's...
I had someone translate it into actual Japanese and I was going to read it like that and do a character voice, but I didn't think it was worth it. I was going to do that if I had an animation, but I didn't have time this week.
So that's a haiku?
Haiku, so yeah, which that's 575. In the syllables?
Yeah.
We've been outdone. We've got to call it.
You know. Lacks any like pop culture references, so whatever.
It's all original.
But there's I was going to say Yakuza, but what's the poem called again?
Haiku,
but there's another different version of a haiku with a similar premise.
Oh, you're taking me back to like year three. Not going to be able to help you there.
No.
But you both went down the Japanese mafia route with your stories. Yeah.
They're pretty popular.
They got a lot of sponges.
Do you have tattoos?
Maybe.
Do you?
Maybe.
Because you're not allowed to have tattoos in Japan, or you can't go to the bathhouses.
No, the proper ones, you're not meant to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's actually a book that I want to get called Russian Tattoos. Russian Crime Tattoos. And it's just like an encyclopedia of... Did you ever see Eastern Promises?
Yes.
you know how it's like the jackal here and this jackal, and it means like you're a thief, and like the praying hands means that you bow to no one and all that stuff. And it's like an encyclopedia of that. And it's only $13.
What are you going to do with that book?
Maybe use it for our next story, Sponge in Russia. Can that be the topic?
Sponge in Russia. SpongeBob just goes from one continent to another.
Yeah, we're actually just writing a series about the world travel.
And I'm just talking about KFC.
Now, we got... got one more entry. The cold weather. Everyone's locking up shop.
Come on.
We like it.
Short story. Audience in the catacombs. Pierre sat in the audience in the catacombs, unsure of what he would see. The invitation to attend tonight had piqued his curiosity. Come along, it said, to an evening that will certainly be unique. And as the first of the skulls began to move, he heard an unholy shriek. Quickly, nearly all of the bones had leapt from out of the wall, and as the audience ran for the exits, many began to fall. Pierre grabbed the usher's collar and said, "What are you trying to do?" "Yes, yeah, sorry about this," he replied. "We only had a skeleton crew."
Oh, it's too good.
I do like Cookie. He always does... He knows how to bring it home.
He does, and there's always a bit of a rhythmic... Yeah, Ryan.
There's a reason why he's headlining this show.
He should be headlining. He's the headliner. I'm surprised he's not sitting on the couch.
No, because he did. He came to the live show.
Yes.
Yeah.
But more frequently, we should get him on.
The live shows.
Okay.
We love you, Cookie, but buy a fucking ticket. Nah. We should get Cookie on. But what are the... We'll see how he goes next week.
Okay, yeah. But I'm going to... Let's challenge ourselves to put a bit of rhythmic rhyme into ours as well. Maybe.
Okay. Depends what the topic is. I think definitely the third one is Sponge in Russia.
Sponge in Russia.
Yeah.
I think we can write to Nickelodeon. We've got a spin-off for you.
Can you create like a little thing for like the world traveling sponge?
Yeah, the traveling sponge.
You might
have to do like a fake like intro to a show.
Like Traveler that. But what are the next week's topics? We got a little animation for this now.
Yep.
All right, so which one are you going for?
Well, I've got Boy Scout Learns How to Blackmail.
Ooh, I got a vampire on a ghost train.
Ooh, get your stories in.
I want to see
Smart as well.
Smart,
yep.
For vampire on a ghost train.
Okay.
All right. Otherwise, we'll be hunting you down.
Yep.
That's what this podcast is now. It's just violent threats. The people that used to watch.
Or the shit monster will get you.
All right, guys. I hope you guys enjoy this new episode with myself and Nathan Hull's arch nemesis, Gumby.
I can't remember what the Icelandic coach is called, but... Eastland!
No, but I do remember the line where it was like, no, Iceland is very green and Greenland.
Yeah, that's how I learnt some geography. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks again. We've been the Go King Writers Club. Make sure to check us out on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Instagram, Facebook, wherever there's something cool.
OnlyFans?
No, yeah, we might. We should have the Patreon kicking off soon, but before then, go check us out. Thank you.
Submit your videos.
Submit your videos, send your art. See you next week.
See you.